Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our House of Representatives call. Today is Tuesday, February 6th, 2018, and we're going to join up with the Senate after we do our roll in prayer tonight. And also, too, kind of be thinking if you have some comments about President Trump's address last Tuesday that we adjourned for to go listen to his State of the Union address. We'll take about 5 minutes after we join up with the Senate and take brief comments from people on what they thought of his address. So anyway, without any further ado, does somebody want to open us in prayer tonight? All right. If nobody wants to volunteer, I definitely will. Father Jehovah's. Oh, go right ahead.
Sorry, I was distracted for a minute there.
Nope, so was I, so we're in the same boat.
All right, I'd like to pray the first congressional prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, high and mighty, King of kings and Lord of lords, we thus from thy throne behold all the dwellers on earth, and reignest with power supreme and uncontrolled over all the kingdoms, empires, and governments. Look down in mercy, we beseech thee, on these American states, who have fled to thee from the rod of the oppressor and thrown themselves on thy gracious protection, desiring henceforth to be dependent only on thee. To thee they have appealed for the righteousness of their cause. To thee do they now look up for that countenance and support which thou alone canst give them. Take them, therefore, Heavenly Father, under thy nurturing care. Give them wisdom and counsel and valor in the field. Defeat the malicious design of our cruel adversaries. Convince them of their unrighteousness, of their cause, and if they persist in their sanguinary purpose. Oh, let the voice of thy own unerring justice sounding in their hearts constrain them to drop the weapons of war from their unnerved hands in the day of battle. Be thou present, O God of wisdom, and direct the counsels of this honorable assembly. Enable them to settle things on the best and surest foundation, and the scene of blood, and that the scene of blood may be speedily closed, that order, harmony, and peace may be effectually restored, and truth and justice, religion and piety prevail and flourish among thy people. Preserve the health of their bodies and vigor of their minds. Shower down on them and the millions they here represent such temporal blessings as thou seest expedient for them in this world, and crown them with everlasting glory in the world to come. All this we ask in the name and through the merits of Jesus Christ, thy Son and our Savior. Amen.
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 All right, go ahead and yield to Liz to do our roll call tonight. It looks like the Senate should be just about ready for us when we get done with our roll, so I'll yield.
All right, thank you, Mr. Speaker. We'll start with Mike Ackerman.
Representative Ackerman of Colorado is present.
Thank you. Representative Andrew Phil.
Andrew is present.
Thank you. Representative Mark Binder.
Representative Mark Binder is present. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Charlie Alfaro.
Representative Alfaro is present.
Thank you. Representative Joseph Goodman. Representative Doug Reed.
Representative Doug Reed is present.
Thank you. Representative Ross Cox.
Representative Cox is present.
Thank you. Representative John Rockwell.
Present.
Thank you. And Representative David Schmidt.
Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin is present.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, I have 8 representatives representing 8 states present.
All right. Thank you very much, Liz, for our roll call tonight. The Senate is ready to join us tonight. So how is the Senate doing this evening?
Mr. Speaker, good evening. The Senate is doing real well. We have 4 senators in attendance looking forward to tonight's training.
All right, cool. Any opening comments before we get started tonight?
No, sir. We're good to go. Maybe a few comments later on in the call, but at this point we'll yield to you, Mr. Speaker.
All right. Very good. Thought it would be appropriate, since last week we adjourned early to listen to President Trump's State of the Union address, I thought maybe we could take about 5 minutes here and just get comments from both the House and Senate to see what everyone thought of that particular address before we jump into David's teaching tonight. I'll yield.
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin requesting the floor, please.
Yes, you have the floor.
Well, at the very end, I thought the most important part was three words at the very end. God bless America. And of course, everybody knows it's one thing. You never heard that from Obama. So with that, I yield.
All right. Thank you. Anybody else?
Senator Adams, if I may.
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you, sir. I don't have any comments on Mr. Trump's speech, but I stuck around and listened to the Democrat response by Joseph Kennedy. I found it very par for the course, I guess, but very disheartening. He used that platform to legitimize gay marriages and transgenderism. I found that most appalling, and I yield.
I agree with that one. Thank you.
This the floor is open. Alfaro, may I have the floor, please?
Yes, you have the floor.
I thought that President Trump's speech was very inspiring. I thought he went out of his way to extend an olive branch to the other side of the aisle, and they had no clue what to do with it. And I agree that the Democrat response, I was able to tolerate only about 4 or 5 minutes of it. And I felt like if that was the best that they have to put up, they are in serious trouble. And this president is running circles around them, and they don't know what to do about it. And I yield.
Thank you. The floor is open.
This is Representative Mark Viner. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. I think the address was a breath of fresh air and very encouraging. And instead of like most politicians where you have to watch what they do and not what they say, this man is a sayer and a doer, and he's really not a politician. But he's more of a businessman, and he's used to making deals and stuff. And anyway, I thought it was great, and I agree that Democrats, their game plans let the bottom fell out in their game plan because their leader didn't make it to the presidency. And that yield. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Well, my comment to what he had to say, again, what he said in his inaugural speech, is he's giving this back to the people, and it's very evident in the past year what he's been doing and he continues to do, which the people are you and I, and you know what we're all about in the Republic. That's what he's working for, and I'll quote President Geiger and what he always says, that Trump is building the Republic, he's carrying the torch for the Republic as he does everything that he's doing to set things up for us to be stood up. And he's got the people in mind, and that's what it's all about. I'll yield. All right, if there's no further comments, I will go ahead and yield to David Hertler to get our teaching underway tonight. David?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And greetings to the Senate, House Admin, Senator Adams from the great state of Wisconsin, and you fine senators that made the call. Thank you for coming on tonight. And all you fine representatives, it's good to hear your voice again tonight. And you in the gallery, I'm glad you joined us, whether it's by recording or live. I just thought if I could just say that it was like a breath of fresh air to listen to. I thought it was a good delivery. I thought, you know, he's not noted for giving great speeches. I think a speechwriter handed him, I don't know how much was his words, how much was the speechwriter's words, but I thought his delivery was excellent. And he's given America, to those that tune in and want to hear what he has to say, I would have to say he's given America great hope. I believe God called him. And I believe that if God did call him, I believe that he will succeed. I found a quote by Samuel Adams. It's a short quote, and then we'll get into the study. You know that through the years that you've been in the Republic, you've shared the Republic, and you've had people raise their eyebrows. You've had people walk away from you. You've had people say, well, I hope things go good for you, but I've never heard of you before, and, you know, they're cowardly, or they have their own interest, if you will. And Sam Adams, when he dumped the tea and the opium overboard with those three ships in the harbor in December of 1773, I'm sure he had bystanders. But here's what Sam Adams says about people like that. Here's Sam Adams, the father of the Revolution. He says, if he loved well, better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than animating contest of freedom, go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or your arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen. I think that says it all, don't you? Going into the teaching tonight, we're going to start with Roman numeral 3H1, and I'm going to read from the outline. If you have your outline in front of you, I'm going to read H1 and 2 before I start reading from the actual address. The outline is like this with H. This is Roman numeral 3H. 1 and 2. It was unity that brought two valuable treaties, one with Great Britain, two with Spain. Okay, now if we go on my outline, it's on page 4, but if you can find Roman numeral 3H, starting with 1, here we go. In contemplating the causes which may disturb our union, it occurs as matter of serious concern that any ground should have been furnished for characterizing parties of geographical discrimination. We look up discriminations, we find the meaning is money paid out. No, that's not right. It's acts based on prejudices. That's what discriminations mean. So let me read that sentence again. In contemplating the causes which may disturb our union, it occurs as a matter of serious concern that any ground should have been furnished for characterizing parties by geographical discrimination or acts based on prejudice. Northern and Southern, Atlantic and Western, whence designing men may endeavor to excite a belief that there is a real difference of local interests and views. One of the expedients, if I look up expedients, it says something adopted to meet an urgent need. Schemes of party to acquire influence within particular districts is to misrepresent the opinions and aims of other districts. You cannot shield yourself too much against the jealousies and the heart burnings which springs from these misrepresentation. They tend to render alien to each other those who ought to be bound together by fraternal affection. The inhabitants of our Western country have lately had a useful lesson on this head. They have seen in the negotiation by the executive and in the unanimous ratification by the Senate of the treaty with Spain and in the universal satisfaction at that event throughout the United States, a decisive proof how unfounded were the suspicions propagated. Look up propagated. We find it means caused to multiply, spread among them of a policy in the general government and in the Atlantic states unfriendly to their interests in regard to the Mississippi. They have been witnesses to the formation of two treaties, that with Great Britain and that with Spain, which secure to them everything they could desire in respect to our foreign relations towards confirming their prosperity. Will it not be their wisdom to rely for the preservation of these advantages on the union by which they were procured? If I look up that word, procured, obtained or acquired. So he's asking the question, will it not be their wisdom not to rely for the preservation of these advantages on the Union by which they were procured or attained or acquired? Going on, will they not henceforth be deaf to those advisors, if such there are, who would sever them from their brethren and connect them with aliens? I'll stop right there. Any comments on 3H1 and 2, but before I ask for a comment, I should read the outline. I guess I have it here again. Let me read it again. It was the unity that brought two valuable treaties with Great Britain and with Spain. So with that, I open the floor for comment. So it had to do with the treaties with Great Britain and Spain. Okay, I'm going to move on. I'm going to read from the outline. And there's 1, 2, and 3. So I'm going to the outline. It says, with I, it says, government for the whole, the Constitution, is indispensable, not just alliances between sections. Number one, let me read that again. Government for the whole, via the Constitution, is indispensable, not just alliances between sections. So number one, the adoption of the Constitution was an improvement on the former essay. Number two, respect for its authority, compliance with its laws and acquiescence in its measures are fundamental maxims of true liberty. Number three, the people's right to alter constitutions is the basis of our political system. I think I want to read that again. I'm going to go to government for the whole. This is what this paragraph, this is what this teaching is about. This next paragraph here, next couple paragraphs, it would be this paragraph, starting with this efficacy. The government for the whole via the Constitution is indispensable, not just alliances between sections. Number one, the adoption of the Constitution was an improvement on the former essay. Number two, respect for its authority, compliance with its laws, and acquiescence in its measures are fundamental maxims of true liberty. And number three, the people's right to alter constitutions is the basis of our political system. So I'm going to the paragraph now, and I'm coming to efficacy, to the efficacy. the efficacy, his power to produce a desired effect or effectiveness, to the effectiveness and permanency of your union, a government for the whole is indispensable. I'm looking up indispensable. Indispensable, not able to be done away with, essential. So a government for the whole is not able to be done away with, it's essential. No alliance. Go to the A's. Alliance, a formal pact between nations and partnership. Okay, a formal, no formal pact between nations, however strict, between the parts can be an adequate substitute. They must inevitably experience the infractions and interruptions which all alliances in all times have experienced. Sensible of this momentous truth, you have improved upon your first essay by the adoption of a constitution of government better than calculated than your former for an intimate union and for the efficacy management of your common concerns. This government, the offspring of our own choice, uninfluenced and unawed, adopted upon full investigation and mature deliberation, completely free in its principles, in the distribution of its powers, uniting security with energy, and containing within itself a provision for its own amendment, has a just claim to your confidence and your support. Respect for its authority, compliance with its law, acquiescence in its measures, looking up acquiesce, if you have it,
agreement without protest, consent.
All right, thank you. In its measures, our duties enjoined by the fundamental maxims. Okay, we're looking up maxims now. Maxim is fundamental principle or rule of conduct, or you could say principle. Our duties enjoined by the fundamental principle of true liberty. The basis of our political systems is the right to the people to make and to alter their constitutions of government. But the Constitution, which at any time exists, shall change by an explicit and authentic act of the whole people, is sacredly obligatory. Obligatory is legally or morally binding, required. So let's read, is sacredly required upon all. The very idea of the power and the right of the people to establish government presupposes the duty of every individual to obey the established government. Okay, I'm going to read again the outline, what I just read, what it is supposed to have said is government for the whole. Via the Constitution is indispensable, not just alliances between sections. Number one, the adoption of the Constitution was an improvement on the former essay. Number two, respect for its authority, compliance with its laws, and acquiescence in its measures are fundamental maxims of true liberty. The people's right to alter constitutions is the basis of our political system. With that, I give you guys the floor. Any comments on what we've covered tonight. It would seem that everybody is well into understanding what was presented tonight.
This is Representative Al Farrell. May I have the floor?
Yes. Yes, you do. Go ahead.
I just, the more I look at this and read this, the more brilliant these people were. And this one letter could be an entire college course and probably should be. And with that, I yield.
Thank you very much, Representative Alfaro. This particular address is studied over and over and over. And like I said when I started this, that there are colleges that want their students to actually memorize the whole address. That's how packed it is with substance, like you're saying. This man, this George Washington, this man was a prayer warrior, but this man was filled with wisdom. Great wisdom, great knowledge, and wow, a father of our country. That's, you know, and what a general he was for the Continental Army. Any other comments?
Yes, David. Senator Adams, if I may?
Yes, Senator Adams, go ahead.
Not quite related to your teaching tonight, but something you said during the training reminded me of a movie you recommended several years ago called The Sons of Liberty. It gives a very, very good background on the Revolutionary War and how it was implemented, if you will. So just a quick suggestion. Anybody that really wants to get, even though it's a movie, it's very historically correct, as far as I know, called The Sons of Liberty. I believe we got it from the local library. I yield. Thank you, David.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator M. Okay. How about the moving on then to the next paragraph? I will read from the outline. It's on the spirit of party. So I'm going to read the outline. Spirit of Party A. Parties are potent engines that men will use to take over the reins of government. B. Washington warns against parties' baneful effects. Number one, leads to the absolute power of an individual. Two, discourage and restrain the spirit of party. Three, leads to jealousies and false alarms. Four, animosity of one part against another. Five, can lead to riot and insurrection. Six, opens doors to foreign influence and corruption. And seven, it is a spirit not to be encouraged. So if I start with all obstructions to the execution of the laws, all combinations and associations under whatever plausible character. Plausible, if I look up plausible here, appearing to be valid, likely, or acceptable, believable. I'll start from the beginning again. All obstructions to the execution of the laws, all combinations and associations under whatever plausible character, with the real design to direct, control, counteract, or awe the regular deliberation and an action of the constituted authorities, are destructive of this fundamental principle and of fatal tendency. They serve to organize faction, to give it an artificial and extraordinary force, to put in the place of the delegated will of the nation, the will of the party. Often a small but artful and enterprising minority of the community, and according to the alternate triumphs of different parties. To make the public administration the mirror of the ill-concerted and incongruous, I had this,
incongruous,
Yeah, go ahead. Say it again.
Incongruous.
It means not consistent with what is logical, customary, or correct, disagreeable. Projects of faction. Rather than the organ of consistent and wholesome plans digested by common councils and modified by mutual interest. You know what? I feel like I want to read this again. All obstructions to the execution of the laws, all combinations and associations under whatever plausible character with the real design to direct, control, counteract, or awe the regular deliberation and action of the constituted authorities are destructive of this fundamental principle and of fatal tendencies. They serve to organize faction, to give it an artificial and extraordinary force, to put it in the place of the delegated will of the nation, the will of a party, often a small but artful and enterprising minority of the community, and according to the alternate triumphs of different parties, to make the public administration the mirror of the ill-concerted and incongruous. Go ahead, say it again, Mark.
Incongruous.
Incongruous projects of factions, rather than the organ of consistent and wholesome plans digested by common councils and modified by mutual interest. Who will have a go at making a comment on that?
This is Representative Mark Finer. May I have the floor?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks. Yeah, parties have been the downfall of this country for a long time. You have interests instead of rule by law and following the Constitution, the organic Constitution. They brought in party interests, and we also have a group of people, you know, thinking what would be best for everybody else and running on a platform. They unite in their efforts, and it's not a good unite, not something good, let's put it that way, and without ego thinking.
Totally agree, Mark, Representative Binder. Anyone else? Okay, I'm going to go to A, parties. Parties are potent engines that men will use to take over the reins of government. So that's from the outline. I'm going to start reading. However, combinations or associations of the above description may now and then answer popular ends. They are likely in the course of time and things to become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert. Look up subvert. Subvert to undermine the character, morals, or allegiance of overthrow. To subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engines which have lifted them to unjust dominion. You see, factions, lust for power. Here we got reins of government. The Republican form of government, I say this over and over, is about serving the people. If we get our mindset on serving the people, then this isn't going to happen. We listen to the people, and we serve the people, we represent them, and we protect the rights of the people. Does anybody have any comments on that, on A? I read the outline against parties are potent engines that men will use to take over the reins of government. We can see what happened to Washington. Any comment?
This is Representative Mark Finer. I'd like to make another comment.
Go ahead, Representative Binder.
Yep, that opens up the door for communism, socialism, the Green Party, special interests, all the deals under the table, bringing in foreign interests to try to steer a party in a certain way. It just makes it all corrupt and makes it very difficult to run a nation. Maggie, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Binder. Anyone else? Okay. I'm going to continue on. Okay, towards the preservation of our government and the permanency of your present happy state, it is requisite is essential or required. Not only that you steadily discontinuance irregular opposition to the acknowledged authority, but also that you resist with care the spirit of innovation upon its principles, however specious, I look up specious, appearing to be true, but being false, deceptive, the pretext. One method of assault may be to effect in the forms of the Constitution, alterations which will impair the energy of the system and thus to undermine what cannot be directly overthrown. In all the changes to which you may be invited, remember that time and habit are at least as necessary to fix the true character of government as of other human institutions, that experience is the surest standard by which to test the real tendency of the existing constitution of a country. That facility and change upon the credit of mere hypotheses and opinion exposes to perpetual. Well, let's look up hypotheses. Hypotheses, something considered to be true, assumption, and perpetual. Perpetual, lasting for eternity, unending. Okay, let me go back to that. Let me start over here again. Let me go up to that experience is the sure standard by which to test the real tendencies of the existing constitution of a country. That facility in changes upon the credit of mere hypotheses and opinion exposes the perpetual change from the endless variety of hypotheses and opinion. And remember especially that for the efficient management of your common interest in a country so extensive as ours, a government of as much vigor as it's consistent with the perfect security of liberty is indispensable. Indispensable, not able to be done away with, or essential. Liberty itself will find that such a government with powers properly distributed and adjusted, its surest guardian. It is, indeed, little else than a name where the government is too feeble to withstand the enterprises of faction, to confine each member of the society within the limits prescribed by the laws, and to maintain all in the secure and tranquil employment of the rights of person and property. You know what? I got to read that again, you guys. Follow along with me. It's going up to towards the preservation of our government and the permanency of your present happy estate. It is requisite not only that you steadily discontinuous your regular oppositions on acknowledged authority, but also that you resist with care the spirit of innovation upon its principles, however specious the pretext. One method of assault may be to effect in the forms of the Constitution alterations which will impair the energy of the system and thus to undermine what cannot be directly overthrown. In all the changes to which you may be invited, remember that time and habit are at least as necessary to fix the true character of government as of other human institutions. That experience is the surest standard by which to test the real tendency of the existing constitution of a country. That faculty of changes upon the credit of mere hypotheses and opinion exposes the perpetual change from the endless variety of hypotheses and opinion. And remember especially that for the efficient management of your common interest in a country so extensive as ours, a government of as much vigor as is consistent with the perfect security of liberty is indispensable. Liberty itself will find in such a government with powers properly distributed and adjusted, the surest guardian. It is indeed little else than a name. Where the government is too feeble to withstand the enterprise of the faction to confine each member of the society within the limits prescribed by the laws, and to maintain all in the secure and tranquil enjoyment of the rights of person and property. Floor is open. Any comments on that paragraph?
This is Representative Mark Feiner, may I have the floor?
Yeah, go ahead, Representative Feiner.
Thanks. What that speaks to me is when you have a good constitution and you have a good and just laws, anything that's going to alter it, except for maybe a futuristic event, is just going to harm it. So if it's not broken, don't fix it. And I'm thinking that besides those cunning, ambitious, and principled men, we also have had politicians in our past that didn't really understand the proper role of government in the Constitution, but had a following and decided they were just going to make changes because their people wanted the changes made, and it was in their own best interest, the politicians. Now you'll thank you.
Thank you for that, and I agree with you 100%, and those people probably, most likely, did not have a biblical worldview with their education. They had a worldview, not a biblical worldview. They did not have the wisdom from above, but they had earthly wisdom. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I would.
Yeah. Anyone else? You know what? Let's complete the next two paragraphs. If I go, I guess I'm still in, I'm still with A here. Okay, I'm at parties are potent engines that men will use to take over the reins of government. Okay, let's go here. We're at a quarter two. So let me do the next two paragraphs here. I have already intimated. Am I saying that right?
Yes, intimated.
Okay, let me look at that. Intimated to announce or proclaim. Let's use that. I have already announced or proclaimed or spoken. Intimated. I have already spoken to you the danger of parties in the state, with particular reference to the founding of them on geographical discriminations. Let me now take a more comprehensive view and warn you in the most solemn manner against the baneful, let's look up baneful is causing death, destruction, or ruin, harmful. Let me read that sentence again. Let me now take a more comprehensive view and warn you in the most solemn manner against the baneful effect. Baneful. Is that baneful or baneful?
I think it's baneful.
Baneful. Causing death, destruction, or ruin. Effects of the spirit of party generally. Next paragraph. This spirit, unfortunately, is inseparable from our nature, having its root in the strongest passions of the human mind. It exists under different shapes in all governments, more or less stifled, controlled, or repressed. But in those of the popular form, it is seen in its greatest rankness and is truly the worst enemy. Let me read those two paragraphs again. Follow with me. I have already intimated to you the danger of parties in the state, with particular reference to the founding of them on geographical discriminations. Let me now take a more comprehensive view and warn you in this most solemn manner against the baneful effects of the spirit of party generally. The spirit, unfortunately, is inseparable from our nature, having its root in the strongest passions of the human mind. It exists under different shapes in all governments, more or less stifled, controlled, or repressed. But in those of the popular form, it is seen in its greatest rankness and is truly their worst enemy. Okay, any comments on those two paragraphs?
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin requesting the floor, please.
From the great state of Wisconsin, Representative Schmidt, you have the floor.
Yep, sounds just like today's political parties.
Uh-huh.
And also reminiscent of the corruption within the British political parties, you know, at the time of the, you know, in the 18th century. And with that, I yield the floor.
Thank you, Representative Schmidt. Anyone else? Okay, let me make a comment. We're gonna end it with this, but that's as far as we're gonna get tonight. So mark that. We're gonna start at B1 next Tuesday night. Let me give you this comment. The frame of reference is preconceived ideas on how, you know, we see things. The more accurate our frame of reference is, the more accurate we see the world. Now, preconceived ideas, mentioning the layers of thinking, we have premises, we have attitudes that we formed while we grew up, whether it was public school teachers, whether it was Sunday school teachers, our parents, radio, TV, whatever gang you hung with, you formed a premise. One idea, if you have an idea today, that idea came from a premise, previous premise. And then there's a philosophy that you have, through your years, you've developed this philosophy. It's a lens on how your ideas look through that lens. A lens would be, how you see your person. Your philosophy is I don't have the words for it, but it's how you see. It's a lens. It's a filter on how your ideas, your premises, and the idea that you got in front of you. The premise gives you a chance to say to yourself, "There's something to consider here," and it helps you come to a conclusion on what you're thinking about the existing idea. But the philosophy is like a filter. It's a filter of your being, of your conduct, of your knowledge, of who you are, your world. But underneath those, everyone has a religious premise. And I didn't know this until I studied Dr. Marlene McMillan. So these people with these factions, these people that are cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men, do not see the world accurately, but they work for somebody. They work for the aristocracy. They work for the elite. They work for the enemy. In their mind, their wisdom is not from above. Their wisdom is earthly. It's sensual. And so that's what we have going on in Washington, D.C. And I say this to you to show the importance to have a biblical worldview in order to run, in order to protect the rights of the people and be constitutionally sound. Therefore, the church must choose men or women with good reputations that are God-fearing people to be placed in Congress or all three branches of government. And with that, I yield. If there's any other comments, I would take them right now. Okay. So we're going to start at Roman numeral 4, B1, starting next Tuesday. So mark it, and feel free to go ahead and study. With that, I yield, Mr. Speaker.
All right. Thank you, David, for another excellent teaching tonight. It doesn't hurt to repeat things like you've been doing, because this is a very important document. Appreciate how you're presenting it. It's very good. So with that, does anybody in the Senate have any final comments before we separate back into our houses?
No comment here, Mr. Speaker. Senators, this is your last chance. Okay, I yield back to you. Thank you, John.
All right. Thank you, Senator Adams, for that. And we'll catch you next Tuesday for another great teaching from David Hertler. All right. Anybody have any closing comments before we adjourn tonight?
This is Representative Mark Feiner. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thanks. I think what David just got done saying is very important, because nowadays, if you're in office and you're not a God-fearing person, you don't really have consequences. You're not fearing consequences for your actions, and you're not really schooled in God's government, and so therefore you become a loose cannon. And with that, I yield. Thank you.
Very well put. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. If not, I definitely entertain a motion for us to adjourn tonight, if somebody would like to do that.
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin, making the motion to adjourn until Tuesday, February 13th at 8 p.m. Central. With that, I yield.
Thank you.
This is Representative Alfaro. I will second that motion.
All right. Thank you very much. We have a motion on the floor to adjourn tonight and reconvene next Tuesday. All in favor, say aye.
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 And is there anybody opposed? All right, the ayes have it. We'll go ahead and stand adjourned for tonight. And before we separate, does somebody want to close us in prayer tonight?
This is Representative Robin Cox. I'll be happy to do that.
All right, you have the floor.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for what we've learned tonight. And we just ask that you would keep us safe, Lord, throughout this coming week. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over each and every representative and their families, and every senator and their families, and the leaders of our republic, and the President Turner, President Geiger, and all of the leadership. Lord God, we speak healing to everybody who's fighting infections. We curse every infection and command it to be gone in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that we were all healed by the stripes of Jesus, Lord. And we ask that you would station your war and guard ministry angels around us, Lord God, and keep us safe and bring us back to the next legislative call. And we just thank you again for what we've learned. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen.